Your home for classic hits. AM 1570, 96.9, and Boone 102.7 FM. WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi.
TC Trailers. Oh.
Honey?
TC Trailers.
Honey, wake up.
What? What's wrong?
You were dreaming about TC Trailers again.
Oh, they do have over 300 trailers on the lot. Cargos, haulers, concessions, landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
They have that loaded parts store and their on-site repair shop for all makes and models, even warranty repairs.
Okay, okay. We'll go tomorrow. Let's get some sleep.
TC Trailers, a dream come true. Stop in or visit tc-trailers.com. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields, and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Now, that's an appropriate song to come back into.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on.
Welcome back to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7. Thanks to our sponsors for Party Line, by the way. Clinton Carroll, BooneCountyDailyNews.com. Big Deals, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Ivy Tech Community College, and TC Trailers. The online telecast you could be watching right now at HoosierlandTV.com. That's brought to you by Mann Chevrolet GMC in Delphi, Jerry's Body Shop, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, Avery Home Store, Braden Business Systems, Copper Electric Services, VFW Post 1110 in Frankfort, Marchand's Window Tinning, Ellis Jewelers, Witham Health Services, Tornado Roofing, Siding and Gutters, Simplify Family Dental, The Community Foundation, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Newell Gas, Welty Exteriors, Arborwood by Shoups, Big O Tires, CMIM Carpet Cleaning, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Dan Ginda Funeral Home, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Shoups Country Foods, The Farmers Bank, and 51 West Event Center. We do have our next guest in studio with us. Hi, Josh. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Josh Hewitt's with the Frankfort Fire Department. You got the call today since everybody's out on spring break, I guess.
Well, yeah. The chief's on vacation, and so you got stuck with me.
That's all right. We'll take it. We're not
complaining. I'll tell you, I'm ready for him to be back.
Well, Josh Hewitt is here, and he is our a deputy chief at the fire department.
That's correct.
And
yeah.
How many years now have you been with the fire department? Because I can date myself real quick because I remember when you came on. But
yeah, 26.
You know, yeah,
26 years, and it's been there's never been a day that I got up and didn't want to go to work. So I've been lucky in that respect to have a career where I enjoy it. I enjoy helping people.
Well, that's what
it's
I was
good to hear you say that. Actually,
that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, I don't think I have ever asked you what made you want to take this career path to begin with.
Well, this is going to. So at the time, I was trying to think how old I was, 23 or 4 years old, and I was looking for something stable and something that was going to provide a good income and that I could make a career out of. And a good friend of mine and actually a distant relation, Kevin Catron, who's also our fire inspector, said, "Hey, have you ever thought about becoming a firefighter?" And I thought, "No, I really hadn't." He said, "Well, it's, you're young, it's a good career, that's steady employment, there's not a lot of no history of layoff in our department, and you can, he had been raising a family, and so he kind of got me interested in it, and gosh, we went from there. And then it was only after I started working that I really developed an appreciation for what those guys were doing, the kind of gentlemen that they were. They taught me, they kind of there's an old saying that kind of put shoes on my feet. They taught me how to be a responsible person and a you know, productive member of the community, and how to give back and to truly enjoy, you know, that type of service work or community-minded service. And, you know, my mother had said when we were little, my brothers and I, and I've told this story several times, so if you've heard it, I apologize, but I'll never forget, there was one day she told all of us, she said, I don't care what you guys do when you grow up, you know, if you want to be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever, but as long as you're giving back to society, I'll be fine with it. And so we all kind of took that to heart, and here I am. So I've been fortunate to be able to give back, and you know, I worked part-time for a long time at Goodwin Funeral Home, and you know, I've been able to help my community in that respect, and it's just been kind of a...
Moms give good advice occasionally,
yeah,
don't they?
For sure. Yeah, one time she did.
Oh, now come on.
You're going to get a phone call.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know your mom. Yeah.
Josh Hewitt with the Frankfort Fire Department is our guest on Party Line today.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think that was one of the things that we were all fortunate. I know Kevin's family. We all grew up together. I mean, I remember you as a kid growing up when you first came into the service.
Yeah.
And bright-eyed, bushy-tailed.
I know.
And, yeah.
Went fast.
Yeah.
Or it's gone fast.
It seems like it all has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
I remember sitting there thinking, man, some of these other guys are old. And they've been here forever, and now I'm that guy.
Well, thinking about that, what are some of the things that you've seen that are different over the years? Because 26 years,
right.
I mean, there's a lot that's happened technology-wise just in that time for sure. So
for sure.
How has that affected what you do and the things that are happening with the fire department?
Oh, I mean, enormously. The technology that's come along and has been integrated into the fire service over the last 26 years is incredible. When I started... You know, at the fire department, we had one desktop computer in the front room, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And none of the trucks had computers on them. We didn't have any fancy digital detection equipment. The SCBAs, the self-contained breathing apparatus, were all mechanical. There was no electronics on them. And now everything has electronics on it and is much more sophisticated, much more safe, and it's just really been made leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's so much. I can't say that it's any. We're definitely safer now than we were.
Yeah.
But in the same turn, fires are more dangerous than they were when I first started to.
What do you mean by that?
Fires are more dangerous now because of the way buildings are built, and the contents of the buildings are made out of synthetic products now, as opposed to, you know, when we were kids, the couch was cotton and wood, and now it's synthetic material. Carpet is petroleum-based, you know.
More toxic.
Correct. Yeah. Modern construction.
Cars have different batteries.
Cars have different batteries. Cars have airbags in them now, which is safe for, you know, the occupant when they get in a wreck, but very dangerous for first responders in the fact that if they haven't gone off yet, you know, that's one of the reasons why if you ever see a car wreck, we're always looking for the battery to disconnect it, because we're trying to disable those functions as much as we can. So, but back to building construction, even the way buildings are constructed now is different because they'll use trusses, which is modern building practices, and there's nothing wrong with them. They're stronger and more cost-effective, but under a fire load, they have metal gussets on them. And those, once metal reaches a certain temperature, those gussets will pop off and cause those roof members to fail. Or the roof, you know, members are made, when I say members, I say it's
the boards,
right. Rafters, whatever you want to call
them. Yeah, it's not native
sometimes
wood like
out,
it used to be.
They're metal, right.
Yeah.
So they burn much faster, much hotter.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting. You know, there's all kinds of considerations now for us when it comes to responding to EMS calls that there weren't when I first started. I mean, you got to, here's a pair of gloves and an oxygen bottle and a backboard. And, and now,
there wasn't much to it.
It's very technical. A lot of skill involved. Guys are able to give epinephrine, which is something we were never able to do when I first started. It's a whole different ball game, but, and it's for the good. I feel I'm envious of these guys because the newer fellows, we just hired four this year. So they're real bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, like you said, and they're getting ready to start their careers. And, you know, I often wonder the changes that they will see 25 sure. years from now, just like I have. So, yeah.
What kind of advice do you give to those new firefighters as they come on?
So, you know, it's I tell them, you know, and there's this is kind of a cliched thing in the fire service, but, you know, the old guys will always, it's kind of a common thing to tell these kids, you know, you just hit the jackpot because you're going to have a great career. You're going to have a job that gives back. It's going to make you feel good. It's very rewarding. And you know, the folks that live in this community are going to make sure you get taken care of because they love their first responders. And, you know, cherish this, respect it. Don't take it for granted, you know, and that sort of thing. Make sure you always remember that the fire department doesn't owe you anything. You owe it everything. And they're usually, you know, we haven't had an instance yet where they didn't feel this or didn't heed that advice. And then there's some acclimation for newer firefighters a lot of time because you're living 10 days a month with a separate family. Now you've got a second family, and it takes some time to get integrated into how that dynamic works and being around other people like that. And so we always tell them, you know, stay quiet.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of times.
God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. You should listen twice as much as you talk.
Yeah, in the summer months especially, I love it when I drive by and it's a nice evening. The doors on the fire station are open and some family members might have walked or, you know, come to visit. I like seeing that, actually. Yeah. It does make it family.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we enjoy people stopping by. You know, we've always had neighborhood kids. I worked at the station across the street here for, gosh, probably 12 years.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a group of neighborhood kids here that would come around, shoot baskets. We used to have a basketball goal over there. And so you see these neighborhood kids grow up, too, and now they're adults and have their own families, and it's always neat.
Have you had any of the kids that you've gone into the schools and taught or whatever come back as actual firefighters, come back and some of the new recruits now?
Yeah, we do. We have a young man, matter of fact, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here, but he was back before it was Coach Kids. There was kind of an interim period between Big Brothers and Big Sisters. It might have been Coach Kids, but anyway, you were called Special Friends. And you went to the schools and you met with these kids. And there was a young boy at Kiger School, and we got assigned to each other and became friends with him. And then, you know, followed him through grade school. And then he just got hired last year at the fire department, Eddie Morales.
Yeah.
So Frankfort native, and you know, now he's grown, has his own family. Aww. And so he's working here, and so, and even better, I get to work with him every day, so it's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's full circle.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Frankfort Deputy Chief from the Fire Department, Josh Hewitts, is our guest on Party Line today.
Well, I know of course everybody's excited. The new truck is really close.
It is. So I just got back from Bradenton, Florida last Friday. The chief and I and a couple other gentlemen from the fire department went down on Wednesday evening. So it was a quick trip. We went Wednesday evening, come back Friday afternoon, but for final inspection. And so the truck is, we drove the truck, pumped with it. It's ready to go. They just have you come down and literally go through the specification sheet, which is, I'm going to guess, at least 400 items. I didn't count, and I can't remember what the last page said. But you go through there, and you check everything off and make sure that they built the truck the way you specified that it should be built. And so literally a couple of the guys were laying on a creeper, crawling underneath it, tape measures, making sure that the running boards were the right length, what we said. And so we went through this thing, and there were four of us. It probably took 6 hours, and we found like a couple dozen things wrong with it
that we wanted. Out of 400, that's not bad.
That we wanted to be fixed. And when I say things that were wrong, it has nothing to do with the operation of the truck or driving or pumping. It's like cosmetic things, like it got bumped or scratched, or hey, we don't like this kind of, you know, the way that looks. Can you fix it?
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. So they we did that, and they literally pulled the truck right out of the bay when we finished and got to work on that stuff. And I fully expect it to be here and in service first of this April. So in short order.
That's coming right up. That's next week.
That's actually quicker than what was anticipated, I think, when the order went in. So
that's correct.
That's cool.
Right now, this is 10 months. 10 months since it was spec'd. And so that's
fast, because when we started this process, we were talking maybe even 2 years out because of the availability of stuff.
Correct.
So, yeah, that's great.
Right. So we'll have it'll be across the street here. And
we get to look at it.
Yeah.
So does somebody go down and drive it up, or do they put it on a trailer and haul it up?
That's what everybody was like, I'll drive it back. I'll drive it back. Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to drive that thing back. And they don't let you do that for insurance reasons. The dealership goes and drives it up here, and then you take possession at the dealership, or they deliver it here, which the dealership is in Whitestown, so it's not very far. Yeah. And they've done a good job communicating with us and working with us. And, so one of the trucks is out of the way. Next truck is going to be spec'd this fall. And that's the Quint, which, for folks who don't know what a Quint is, it's essentially a single axle ladder truck that has the same capabilities as an engine. And it'll be stationed at Station 4, the new station. So
the truck that this new truck is replacing.
Correct.
What will happen to it?
It will. So that's a great question, and we've been debating about that, because in order for a fire department to receive a favorable ISO rating, which, if you're not familiar with that, that's what determines how much your homeowner's insurance is for the fire portion. So we're very fortunate in this community. We just went from a 4 to a 3, and so we're considered to be very well covered. So, but part of that is having a backup engine. And right now, our backup engine is a twin to this one that's across the street, and they're both 2006. And they both, it's fairly well documented that we've been having issues with these trucks just from age.
Sure.
And, you don't think about,
that's 20 years old.
20 years, right. So it's outdated technology, 20-year-old parts. I mean, they've been maintained, but you know how it is. Just like on the farm or any business.
Hard to get the parts after a while.
That's right. They're becoming obsolete.
Yeah.
And so the initial thought was to take the two bad trucks and try to make a good truck out of them to get us by. And we're still exploring that and what the feasibility of that would be. We got to thinking, the guys, Jamie Michael, who's another deputy chief, and Matt Stidham, who's the chief. And, we're still going to have a 20-year-old truck.
Yeah.
And
with 20-year-old parts.
Right.
And who's to say, because they're both engines.
Right.
The same parts aren't wearing out on them.
That's correct.
Because they're used exactly identically. Like you said, they're sister trucks.
Right. But in the interest of being fiscally responsible and trying to do our part to help the city, because the city's invested quite a bit of money in the fire department here in the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, more than I've ever seen. And so the council and the mayor have done a great job of seeing that, the importance of the fire department and investing in that. So we're going to try, if it's feasible and we can get it done, we're going to try to make one good truck out of the two. If not, I'm not sure what that looks like. But we have to have a backup engine. So
no, I know in years past it used to be the trucks from Frankfurt would get passed out to
the outlying areas.
To the outlying areas.
Well, yeah, it's same thing. Engine one would always end up out here at Station 3. Station 3 has always had hand-me-down, we call them hand-me-down, from Station 1 for my entire career. And it's funny, one of the other guys was at the grocery store the other day, and they ran into a retired firefighter. And the retired firefighter says, "You mean to tell me they're getting that Station 3 is getting a brand new truck and it's not going to be hand-me-down?" And he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "What in the world?" So it'll be good.
They do have a life once they're done here, but
they do.
You just don't know where that life's going to be at. So, because I can remember a hand-me-down coming out to Michigan Town years ago.
I mean, it's just
but like
smart
you said,
financially.
Yeah, but like you said, you know, technology has changed so much, and the accessibility to parts you could make a 1960s truck last 40 years because the parts were available, but that's just not possible anymore.
As much as technology has improved things, sometimes it's made them obsolete also. For example, our ladder truck, we have all these computer modules on there, which is great because they control everything and it makes it nice. You can punch a button and make things happen, and it's, you know, but nobody's making those modules anymore. So now when they go out, we're on eBay or, you know, searching the internet trying to find these modules. So if you see these modules for a Pierce ladder truck, buy them and we'll buy them from you.
Let's talk about the new fire station a little bit. Give us an update there.
Right. Yeah. So the first Thursday of every month, we have a progress meeting with the builder. And so this past, this month's meeting, I was really encouraged. And then obviously, I don't know if you've driven by there lately, but that thing has come out of the ground and it's starting to take shape and it's getting real close to being under roof. So it's progressing nicely. They're right on schedule. So completion date is set for, I'm going to say this and I'm going to paint myself in a corner.
But, no, we understand.
No.
The date for completion is June 25th. So, but that doesn't mean that's the move-in date. That means when it's substantially completed. So substantial completion means that, you know, it's under roof, everything's in place. Now it's time to come in and make a punch list and start fine-tuning everything. Maybe somebody missed some paint here.
Walk around with the blue tape and say, this is not right.
Just like we did with the fire truck. And literally we had a roll of blue painter's tape that we were sticking all over the truck. So same thing with buildings. And the folks that have been building it, the gentleman that's in charge out there, the foreman, and he's a go-getter, doesn't mess around, and I went by there. They were working on over the weekend, so they're being smart about it. They're taking advantage of the good weather and working when they can, and it's been a really positive experience. So sometimes those things, you know, I've experienced in the past, you know, being involved with the county, we had some tough situations, you know, a long time ago, nothing current, and you know, building a building is a big deal, and you got to keep your eye on it, and you know, we've been doing that, and we've been fortunate with these folks that we're working with. They've done a good job, so no complaints.
We're coming into warmer weather.
Yeah.
And thank goodness for everybody concerned. But that also kind of proposes different problems or different areas outside with the public and everything that you guys have to kind of switch gears.
We do.
And refocus. So, you know, what's some of your advice to the general public that's going to help you keep from being a visit?
Yeah, so right now a really popular thing that's going on in Clinton County and in our fire territory is controlled burns, which usually means, you know, somebody's burning brush or they've taken out a fence row, or, you know, we've got, you know, some folks have been burning off some grass fields, which is just part of our community and has gone on forever, and we don't want to see that, you know, farmers and folks that live out in the county, we don't want to change any of that. We want them to still be able to do that. So all we ask is that, you know, and most folks are good at this, you call Central Dispatch and say, hey, we're going to be burning some scrap or some brush here. We're going to be, so if somebody comes by and sees smoke, just keep in mind it might be us. And then we also ask that anybody that's going to be doing anything like that stays there and watches it, and for the entirety of the time it's burning, because if it's, you know, unattended, it can get out of control in a hurry, and there have been plenty of examples of that.
We've been in drought conditions for how long now?
Things are still really, really dry. Whether, you know, I know there's mud on, but it's not. It's not what it appears.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and even a light breeze can take embers. It doesn't take much.
That's what I was getting ready to say. I don't know if you guys have noticed or not, but sometimes it's really windy here.
Yeah.
Like all the time, yeah. It seems like. So, you know, it doesn't take much. You know, a good sign for a firefighter when they go to work is to look at the flagpole and the flag's hanging. Because wind changes the dynamics of even, you know, not only forest fires, but field fires, brush fires. Mm-hmm. But it changes the dynamics of a structure fire, too.
Yeah.
I mean, big time. So you have to keep in mind, you have to be cognizant of the weather conditions when you're a firefighter. So great
Josh,
question. Yeah.
Josh Hewis with the Frankfort Fire Department is our guest today. I do have a question. I remember when I was a kid, and I don't know if you still do this, so this is my question.
Yeah.
Once in a while, there would be an old house or an old barn that they were either going to tear down or burn, but it was a good opportunity for the fire department to have some practice. Do you folks still do that on occasion?
We do. Okay. We do. If the homeowner, you know, goes through the right. So we don't particularly issue burning permits and ourselves mm-hmm. in that manner. We recommend that folks go through the Indiana Department of IDEM, Environmental Management. And they have a process you go through to get permitted. So there's certain things you have to do to the building to make it viable for that type of burn.
Especially if it's got old shingles.
You
got
to get the asphalt shingles off of it, right? Because that's, like I said, petroleum-based. And if you, you know, a lot of times when you see house fires, you see black smoke, and the black is from the petroleum-based products that are contents and mm-hmm. building materials. We still do that. It's pretty rare now, more so than when I first started. But we always enjoy the opportunity to have that type of chance, or you know, ability to train new mm-hmm. guys, especially because it's, you know, we have a training center, which is great, and we use it, and we're so fortunate to have that here in our community, and so we use it quite a bit. But it's still really, really hard to simulate what an actual structure fire is like. Yeah. We can get close, you know.
Well, and every structure is different, so to be able to go in and, for lack of a better term, you definitely feel your way through because you're
exactly
90% of the time. Once that thing gets romping, you're on your hands and knees, thank goodness. You have to be thankful for SCBAs to be a lot lighter.
Well, we don't know what that means.
Self-contained breathing apparatus.
Thank you.
So it's just like everybody's heard
air
scuba.
Packs.
Yeah. So the only difference is we're not underwater.
Yeah.
And these wouldn't work very good underwater.
Yeah. So.
So, yeah. I mean, when I started, they were metal tanks. Mm-hmm. You know, I giggle because it almost looked like, I mean, I think they were first generation because it was old green, like old military type straps.
Yeah.
And, you know, a metal regulator. And you had the snorkel tube that come off of your mask, and you'd inevitably lay on it and cut your own air off, and it was and they only lasted about 20 minutes because the bottles weren't they couldn't hold the pressure.
Yeah, they weren't compressed.
So then we went to the composite material, and you know, we can get 45 minutes. A guy that can, they call it step breathing, which is your skip breathing, a guy that can manage his air really well can work and get, you know, 30-40 minutes out of a bottle.
Well, so, and they cut the weight of them in half.
Big difference. So
Yeah, that was the fun part of my training was, because I mean, explain to everybody the weight of like fire gear. Then when it's wet, it's even more.
You're compounding it. That's correct. Yeah. And it gets wet two ways. One, you know, obviously from water, you know, you can get soaked from the hose, but you also perspire, and that adds weight. So a typical, when a firefighter dons his gear and SCBA, you're essentially adding 75 pounds of weight. So it's like carrying a small child around on your back.
Is there a shelf life for those things?
There is, yes.
I wondered. I would think over time, they, as well as like a truck, would still.
So fire gear, as long as it's not compromised, and when we say compromised, it's either been burnt, or not burnt, but it's been hot enough that the material will change color, mm-hmm. and then you start knowing it's probably a little compromised. Or it gets rips and tears in it, and then the age of it is usually about 10 years, and they suggest that you replace everything. And same way with SCBAs, they have a certain life on them, And I can't quote to you what it is.
10 or, well, the composites may be longer, but the old bottles used to be 10.
Yeah. So every so many years, and we keep track of this, we have a log, and we have all of our bottles have a separate serial number, and we track them, and we know when we have to have them tested, and we'll send them off. And they call it hydro testing, and what they do is they just make sure it's not going to explode. So, or there's no weaknesses, or it hasn't been, you know, in a fire damage to where it could lose air. Or, so, yeah.
Josh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you filling in. It's been fun having you in.
This is great. I enjoy answering questions, and this has been a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Again, Josh Hewitt's Deputy Chief with the Frankfort Fire Department. Thank you so much. Quick reminder that a week from yesterday, by the way, and I meant to say it yesterday or ask Shan too, but is the State of the City, and that, of course, is with the mayor and all the department heads. It's coming up Tuesday, March 31st. Doors open at 6:30. It's at the Scanta Theater at the Frankfort Public Library. It starts at 7. If you are unable to attend in person, of course, you can watch that live on Hoosierland TV. TV.com, but it's very important, and we just want to remind folks that that is happening coming up on Tuesday, which happens to be March 31st. Shan will be in tomorrow. Thanks to Josh and our other guests as well. Evan, we appreciate them coming on. Thanks to Mel, too. You've been listening to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7.